It was one of those Sundays where you kind of go home and your brain is foggy, and I slept all afternoon and woke up Monday feeling worse, so I stayed home Monday and slept all day Monday. So hopefully there was something you got from it. I remember Scott giving me a pen, telling me to write a note to my wife. So I did that, Scott. Thank you for rescuing me. And so men, Scott will be handing out pens after the service because it's Valentine's this week. The cards are literally laying on the table. You just got to go write one, right? You're already halfway there. And thank you to all the kindness campaign people who've been doing that. So there's cards ready to go and pens there. So I encourage you maybe take that opportunity before the week gets busy and you forget what's happening. Alrighty, this morning we are going to be getting started in Ephesians chapter 6. We're moving into the final chapter of Ephesians. Some of you are thinking, I didn't think this book was ever going to end. We're going to end. We're going to be ending in a couple weeks here. But as we're getting closer to the end, we still got a couple important things that we're going to be walking through. And as we enter the final chapter at the end of this book, we need to really remember where we've come from. As we've titled this series, Gospel Truth Leads to Gospel Living. And in the first three chapters, we spent some time talking about who we are in Christ. What is our relationship with Him? And then the final three chapters we've been looking at kind of quickly, talking about our relationship to one another through the church, but also our relationship to one another in marriage. And so this morning we're going to talk about another super fun relationship, and that has to do with our children and what that looks like as well. But what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is that all of this through chapter 5, chapter 6, and even up to the end, we've been saying that these are the results of God the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. What it means to be a Spirit-filled believer. What does it mean to be a church working together with one another, being filled with the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? We spent some time on that. We talked about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How will that impact our marriages? What does that look like on the home front? And so we've been doing that, and even this morning we're going to continue on that theme as the Holy Spirit works in and through our lives in our own family, dealing with our children, dealing with our parents, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about both of those this morning. And so, as again, over the last few weeks, we've talked about that a Spirit-filled husband is to love his wife as the Christ loved the church. A Spirit-filled wife is to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. And now we're going to see the same thing with children, what they are to do, but also for us as parents and our parents. Your parents and my parents. And we're going to talk about, no matter what age they're at, we're going to talk about the fact that maybe even if they're already all gone, what does that mean? And so this morning we have basically four short verses, not very long. We're going to break them up into two parts. And so we're going to talk to two different groups of people here. The first group we're going to talk to is for you kids that are with us. Teenagers, youngsters, whatever it is. The first group is basically those of you who still live with mom and dad. Right? We're going to talk to you guys a little bit this morning. You're like, really? You never talk to us. We are today. Right? Okay? Includes my own children as well. The second group is going to be for us adults and our relationship with our parents. Regardless of where that is at, again, regardless of whether they're still with us or not. And so we're going to spend some time doing that. And so let's read together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. It'll be up on the screen. And it says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Four simple verses, right? For some of us, we've heard these four simple verses. For some of us, these might be new verses. We've never heard this before. And so as we get into this morning, we need to spend a few minutes talking about children in general. Because the reality is this: no matter who you are, no matter what your age group is, we are surrounded by children. Right? Our church has many, many children. Whether you're single or married or divorced or wherever your lot of life is irrelevant. There's children in your life. We have children within our own church family. You have children within your own family. But as a church, the Bible says that as a family, we are to raise children. And one of the things about the church is to continue to grow in this idea that we're helping one another raise children. That you don't have to feel like you have to do this by yourself. That somehow you have to figure out how to raise your children all on your own. And what that means is that as a church, together we are to love our children. We are to teach our children. We are to pray for them. And so first of all, thank you to all of you who teach Sunday school, who give and serve of your time for our children. And some of you, that was past tense. You did it a long time ago. Thank you as well for loving and serving children. Thank you to those who've volunteered with our youth ministry, loving and serving teens. They are children. They will always be your children, right, parents, if you have teens? I also want to say a thank you to Cindy Statham and their team that goes upstairs, right, age 4 to grade 4, loving and serving our children, caring for them. And so here's what I want you to do. I don't care if you have small children at home or not anymore. This is Kindness Month. Do something kind for those people who love and serve our children of this church. You can write them a note. You can say it to them personally. Thank them. Again, you don't even have to have children. You don't even have to have children of that age group at all, but take the opportunity as a church to encourage one another and thank those that are loving and serving with the children of this church, because they are a huge value and a huge importance to us, and we want to honor all those people that are doing that. Because here's what's interesting is you read the book of Ephesians. We are in a context of society, they call it the Greco-Roman world, and in this society, children had little to no value at all. I could read you some terrible things of what they would do to children in this society. I won't, because we don't need to hear that. Children were not important. Children would often be abandoned. Children who had either special needs or deformities were often thrown away. They were discarded in this culture. They were treated in inhumane ways, had to figure out life on their own. And here's what's so interesting is that we see Paul reinforcing the value of children in a culture that did not value children. I know we value children in our culture, but I think there's still growth for that in our own culture. Because what's interesting is the language that Paul even uses here. He says, children, obey your parents. The fact that he would even use the word children, which was a general term for young children, little children, was actually quite countercultural, because in society, girls had even less meaning and value. And so what he is saying is little boys and little girls have great value, because the text doesn't say little boys pay attention, little boys obey your parents and ignore the girls, because society would say that. And we see that Paul does not take his cues from society. We see that Paul takes his cues from the loving God, the image of God, who loves men and women, regardless of ethnicity, background, gender, and age. There is a love and respect. And so we want to see that first and foremost, what Paul shows us. It's part of the reason that as a church we celebrate the birth of children, right? We do dedications in our services because we love and celebrate children. But there also needs to be, in my opinion, in my mind, a celebration of foster care. There needs to be a celebration of adoption, because that is loving and caring for children. And I know within this congregation, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of you that have done foster care past tense. There are those of you doing foster care present tense. There's those of you in this congregation that have been adopted. There's those of you in this congregation you have adopted. Your family has done adoption somewhere in your family org chart. People, the physical act of adoption is actually a very spiritual and wonderful thing, because we all, as children of God, are adopted by God. And so we want to honor and value those things. And so thank you to those of you for caring for the children of this world. Through World Vision, we care for children. Through Compassion, through Rwanda, all the things that this church does. It's not just about giving money, people. I hope you understand that. You're caring for children. And so we need to continue to be the church by imitating God, by caring for children here. Because I believe God will continue to build our future with children in this church. Okay. So for the kids that are in the service, should I call you kids, students, whatever terminology we're going to use, that's fine. If you live at home with mom and dad, I'm talking to you. Okay, we're going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different. So the very first verse in there, what does it say? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So let me ask you guys a question. How's that going for you? We're not asking mom and dad. You're going to have to do your own self-evaluation. How are things going? Are you obeying mom and dad? Do you feel like you're doing a good job? Do you feel like you're trying? Or you're maybe the kid who just has a hard time. You know, maybe it's like, well, you should see my mom and dad's rules. If you knew them, you'd disobey too. We're not talking about that, right? We're talking about the fact that you are called to obey mom and dad. So I guess the question I want to help you understand is, what does it mean to obey your parents? Is that like code word for slave? Like, I got to do everything? No. Now, some of you older adults, that was your life, right? You don't want to admit it, but that's maybe the house you grew up in, where obeying your parents was code for, I'm going to do anything, I better not ever speak out, I better not talk back, I just do what I'm told, and that's the end of the conversation. This isn't what we're referring to. So what does it mean to obey your parents? I think what it means is this. I think it means to learn and do what your parents say. I think it means to learn and do what your parents say. Am I saying you're not allowed to have a voice? I'm not saying that. Am I saying you're not allowed to speak your mind or have that discussion or defend yourself? No, we're not saying that. What I'm trying to get you to understand is maybe it's the tone of your voice when you have those discussions with mom and dad. Sometimes it's the tone of our voice as we question mom and dad and what's going on, or maybe when they ask us to do something. Because you, in your mind, well, I'm just negotiating. In their mind, you're talking back. Maybe it's the tone of the way you speak to them. Did you know that obeying your parents is one of the ways that you can obey the Lord? Because that's what the verse is telling us, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. So why am I asking you to obey your parents? I mean, that's the question. Why are we asking you to obey your parents? Because the answer is right there in the verse. What's at the end of verse 1? For this is right. You see, the Bible is saying that you need to obey your parents because this is right. And you say, well, what does that mean? You see, this is what God wants for you. This is what God wants you to do. And why does he want you to do this? Well, the answer is found in part 2 of verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment and a promise. And into verse 3, what does it say? That it may go well with you. Obeying your parents makes things go a little better. Right? Obeying mom and dad makes it go well with you. As in, there's an opportunity here where things can go a little bit better. You see, when you obey your parents and you respect your parents, that relationship gets better, right? We know when we disobey and we don't respect mom and dad, we know that that relationship can be somewhat strained, right? Things are not working so well sometimes at home. Sometimes that's when the arguments start or when the fights break out. I mean, if you think about the times that you have fought or argued with your parents over things, and maybe there's times where it went from bad to worse, does it have something to do with the obeying and respect? You see, God is asking you to obey them because this is right, but it's also because this is what's right for the relationship. And what I mean by relationship is your connection to your parents. We want that to be a good and healthy thing. We want that to go well. We want that to grow. And so for those of you living at home, I want you to think about that a little bit this week. The words that I say, the tone that I use. But now I'm going to talk to your mom and dad, because I think there's two parts to this. Okay, parents, did I do okay? Some of you are like, you should lean a lot harder. We're not going to lean too hard today. But I think moms and dads, to be honest, we're not off the hook. Because we can also be part of this problem in the way we say things, in the way we do things, in the way we address things, in the tone that we use, the language that we use. Our children can have a difficulty sometimes obeying because of what it is we say and do. Are we doing it in a demanding way, like you're going to do this or else? Because the reality, people, is your children will fail, my children will fail, but we also need to be reminded of grace. And I understand it as an adult and as a dad. I know probably for lots of dads and moms, when things go south and the arguments begin, we do tend to revert back to a younger behavior of ourselves, which is usually more angry. The verse has a tendency to say that in there. I mean, yes, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children, but a lot of the studying and reading is mothers and fathers, because I think we can both provoke the child into anger and frustration as well. Parents, I asked you last week, what do you think your marriage preaches to your children? Some of you felt like that was a loaded question, but anyways. Because it gets right to the heart. But you got to remember, your children are watching what goes on. So here's the thought. What are your children witnessing as you two interact with each other? Like, is your only interaction in marriage fighting and arguing? If your interaction with one another in marriage is a lot of put-downs or frustrations, back-talking, if you will, do you understand that your child is then picking up, that's how I relate to you? Or dad speaks to mom a certain way, so then child speaks to mom a certain way, or mom speaks to dad a certain way, so child speaks to dad a certain way? This is a two-sided discussion, and I know it's awkward right now because we're all running the scenarios in our head where we've gone south, and we all have because we're not perfect. You see, people, here's what's interesting is as we've been reading and studying through this, this whole concept of submission has been at the forefront of what we've been talking about, which means obeying. Right? We've talked about the church, that the Bible says we are to submit to one another, obey to one another, encourage, love, right? That's part of it. We then transitioned into marriage, where it talks to submit to one another, obeying of one another, and now we're talking about children, which is submitting and obeying to one another. And we're constantly using this idea, people, of submission language over and over again, which I think is one of the important themes that we need to see. People, your children observe how things get done at home by watching you. And by watching me. Do they observe us speaking in love? Do they observe us working through things that are difficult together as a husband and wife? How do you handle commands from one another in marriage? Because there are commands. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Honey, can you fix this? Can you run to the store? How do we handle those commands is what our children will model back to us at times. When we ask them to obey and do something. If a husband and wife always ends up in a fight and an argument, your children will probably handle some of it the same way. Here's another thing someone taught me many, many years ago, a pastor friend of mine, when my boys were small. He told me, said, if you demand your children obey and rule with a heavy hand, it's not going to go well. He gave me this quote. I don't even know where he got it from. He probably stole it from somebody. He said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. It's not that we're against rules, but without that relationship of the child and the parent, the child never really understands what's going on, and the parent constantly gets frustrated, gets provoked to anger. And it becomes this ugly, vicious circle that happens in many of our homes. For some of you, that was your childhood. Your childhood was rebellion because you had no relationship with your parents. It was just rules. You weren't allowed to talk. You weren't allowed to have a negotiation. You weren't allowed to express yourself. And I think we need to be careful because, in my honest opinion, culture has swung way too far over this way with the adult-child relationship, and that's a whole other sermon. I think it's really out of balance in some ways, where I think the child is running the home and no longer the parents. The child is setting the rules and no longer the parents, but that's a whole other thing. Parents, if you have little ones at home, And we'll say little ones maybe under the age of 18 or those who are still living in your home. Your children, I believe, will learn obedience and respect and submission as they watch you as a married couple. That will be their greatest form of influence. They'll pick up things as they get out in the world. They pick up things as they get out at school. But that primary is where they're going to learn that. They will learn submission from you. They will learn obedience. They will learn respect. And as I mentioned, we've been doing that now for the last chapter or more. As parents, we are under God's authority, both in our roles to one another and our roles as parents, right? God is the authority. So children, you need to watch how you obey as to the Lord. Parents, we need to pay attention to how we parent as to the Lord. Because the truth is, we all fail. If you are a parent, you are a failure. Welcome to the club. But I didn't need to tell you that, because you feel it already, and so do I. But that does not make us bad parents. It makes us parents in need of grace, who are raising children in need of grace. So let's turn the corner here. Let's talk to the rest of us, maybe in one way or the other. Every single one of us in this room is a child of someone. Every single one of us in this room is a child of someone. You are someone's kid, regardless of how old you are. We all had parents in one form or another, and that can be many different forms, many different families, many different looks to that. You might not be close to your family. You might not be close to your parents. You might have a relationship with them. Maybe you have no relationship with them. Maybe they're still around. Maybe they're not still around. Maybe they are in your life, in your community. Maybe they are not in your life and not in our community. People, the relationship with your parents has had probably the biggest impact on your life and who you are today, either both positive or negative. I meet a lot of adults who spend their whole life trying to get over the home they grew up in. And so as we look at your parents, that's what we're talking about. As we look at your parents, some of you have spent your life rejoicing about that. Others of you have spent your life trying to get away from that. And so the next verse in Scripture was verse 2, and this is for you. And you say, what's the difference between verse 1 and verse 2? Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the original language, that means little children. You're not little children if you're an adult and have your own life, right? And so we're not talking about you obeying your parents. We'll talk about that in a minute and what that means. What we're talking about in here is those of us who no longer live with our parents are to honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. What does that mean? Why on earth would God ask me to honor my mother and my father? I mean, does God know my parents? Right? Some of you wonder that. Does God know my parents? Do you have any idea what you're asking me to do? Some of you, I know in your mind, you would say, how do I honor someone who was like my mom or dad? Here's something I want you to understand very clearly as we get into this. God would never ask us to do anything that would hurt us or put us in harm's way. Like, do you believe that about God? Because that's the first question before you even begin to worry about what it means to honor mom and dad. Do you believe that God knows best for you? Do you believe that God loves you, that God cares for you, that God wants to protect you? And so as we walk through what we're going to talk about, you need to remember His grace and His mercy and His love for you. Because as we talk about honoring mom and dad, based on the family you grew up in, to you that might sound like it shouldn't fit together. Depends on your family. And so I need you to rest in who God is and that He knows what He's talking about. God is not asking you to go back to your family of origin, especially if it wasn't a safe place. But He does want you to honor them. And the question is what does that mean? What does that mean? Let me tell you what it does not mean. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. The text does not say, love your parents. The text does not say, trust your parents. The text doesn't even say, admire your parents or enjoy your parents. Adults, again, we're talking to you. It doesn't even say, obey your parents. What does it say? Honor your parents. Little children are to obey. We are to honor as adults. People, that relationship of a parent and an adult child, which is you and me, we're adult children now, two people, that relationship is incredibly complicated. And it's ever-changing, especially if they're still around. They might be getting older. Life situations are always evolving and changing between you and them. And this is why I think verse 1 and verse 2 are quite separated, because that relationship is evolving, where the child grows up, little child at home obeying mom and dad, then he moves out and starts his own life. Those people don't cease to be his parents, but that relationship is always changing. So I'm 44 years old. My parents are still both alive. My both parents are still married. They go down south for the winter, and they hang out around Edmonton in the summer. My parents will be married 50 years next year, something like that, so we're planning on a party or something. My dad was in real estate his whole life, and my mom was a nurse. I mean, they both did that until they retired, and they do their thing now. I got married very young. I've told that story many times, so I left home early. And when I left home, that relationship with my mom and dad changed. When I lived at home, I rarely ever talked to my parents. And I've looked back on it and kind of figure out why, and I didn't really have an answer. I think it was just my relationship with them. It's not because they didn't care or didn't try. It was probably more on me. But as I've gotten older, I talk to my mom and dad way more now than I ever have. About anything, about everything. What's going on in life, the boys, you know, Heather, life and family. But my relationship with them is constantly changing. I've bought and sold many houses, so I ask my dad questions. My dad doesn't tell me what to do. I don't have to obey him. You should do this with your house, right? That relationship changes. Now I go to dad for advice about this, that, or the next thing. Or the minute somebody gets hurt in our house, we snap a photo and send it to mom because she's a nurse. I was playing ball hockey once. I was a coach, and I was coaching one of my son's teams, and I came out behind the bench and I took a bullet right in the eyebrow with a ball and split me wide open, so I take a picture of my eye bleeding all over and send it to my mom. I'm like, should I get this sewn? She's like, no, just tape it, you'll be fine. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks mom, you know. But that relationship changes with our parents, right? That relationship is always evolving. There's health issues that begin to step into that for some of us. As our parents begin to age, that relationship is always changing. People, this is why the text is showing us what it's showing us. Because maybe your family doesn't look like mine. Remember, the text does not say you have to love your parents. Because love is a sense of feeling. And for some of you, you might not have any feeling left towards your parents. Maybe what your parents did were sinful and evil and wrong. The text doesn't say trust your parents. Some of you shouldn't. Maybe their life was unstable and maybe it's unwise. Maybe it was abusive. Maybe it's dishonest. Maybe it wasn't trustworthy. Like in hindsight, to trust them today would just seem stupid and wrong because you know. They've made some poor decisions. The text does not say you have to admire them. Because for some of you, that would be virtually impossible based on what they've done. And again, it doesn't say to obey them. That relationship grows and changes. Being a 2-year-old and being a 44-year-old is very different. But the text says to honor. No matter who you are, no matter what your parents did, what condition that relationship is in today, the Bible says that we are to honor them. And this is why we're separating honor from love and obey and admire, because honor, people, has nothing to do with feelings. Honor has nothing to do with feelings, because as we talk about your parents, I can see it in the eyes of some of you, the feelings are very real. I'm taking you back to a place where many of you have spent your life running away from. But at the foundation of it, the scripture says that we are to honor them. And you say, well, what does that mean? Here's a definition I read this week by Tim Keller. He said, honor is a decision to treat your parents with dignity and with courtesy. And it's also a decision to provide long-term loyalty to their best interests. People, you can give someone honor and not love them. You can give someone honor and not respect them. You can give someone honor and not obey them. And I know the fear for many of us, you think in your mind, is that if I honor them, am I letting them off the hook for the things that they did? And the answer is no. Because again, is God arguing to put you back into a bad situation, a dangerous situation? I think what it's saying is that we don't necessarily need to listen to them anymore or even obey them for that matter. But we can't get around the fact that we are to honor them by showing respect and dignity. And so the question that I always wrestle with is, well, why would God command this? Because for some of you, this is easy. Right? If you had great parents, this is easy. You're like, I'm in. That's an easy verse for me. Other versions of you, this is soul crushing. This is not an easy verse for you. Why would God command this? As I was reading this, I think the answer is the same answer that he commands for children to obey. For this is right. We do this, why? So it may go well with you. That it may go well as long as they're around. You see, people, this points us back to the picture of marriage. We do things in marriage not based on what is right for Heath. We don't do things in marriage what is right for Heather. We do things in marriage for what is right for the relationship. Right? I've been saying that from the beginning. We make decisions and do things because that is what is right for the relationship. Parents with children at home, we are to help them and train them to grow them up to help obey us, and we do this not because it's right for them, not because it's right for you, but because that's what's right for the relationship between the parent and the child. We are to honor our parents not because that's right for you, not because that's what's right for me, but because that is what is right for the relationship. And you say, well, where does all of this come from? It comes from the gospel. The good news of the cross, where Jesus did what was right for the relationship. Jesus went to the cross not because it was right for him. He didn't go to the cross just because it's right for me. He went to the cross because it's right for the relationship. That reconciliation between us and God. That reconciliation between us and others. He did this so that the relationship might be restored. You see that that's the picture we're talking about here. I'm not creating my own picture in some ways, if you will. And we are to honor our parents if they are alive. We are to honor our parents even if they're gone. because that is what is right for the relationship. That is the picture of what Jesus has done for all of us. I know for some of you, your parents are gone, and the question is, well, how do I honor them? The only thing that I could think of this week, and if you have more, let me know, was how do you speak of them? How do you speak of them now that they're gone? What do you say about them? Is it all bad? Is it all negative? That might even be true. But can you still show some dignity? Can you still show some respect to their memory? Even if your home life was less than stellar, they still taught you something. They may have taught you everything what not to do, right? Maybe that's all you ever learned. Don't do that. Okay, thank you. We'll go forward. You can still show some respect and dignity to somebody in that. The truth is, if that was your home, you probably came to a place where maturity-wise, you probably outgrew them at a young age. You outgrew some of their behavior very quickly. You started to realize, like, wow, mom and dad are really stuck in a different phase. And you outgrew them. And part of that growth in your maturity then also helps us grow to honor them. That we would grow in honoring our parents. And so if honor is so important, how am I going to go about doing this? How do I go about honoring my parents even if they're still around? Here is what I would say. Find a culturally appropriate way. You know that some of you have to have boundaries with your parents. We're not asking you to break boundaries. We're not asking you to step back into places of trust and whatever it might be, but find a culturally appropriate way, some way to show a courtesy, a phone call, an email, or remember their birthday. I mean, ultimately, the reason I say culturally appropriate because it has to depend on your relationship with them. You know the boundary that you've probably set in your life with some of them a long time ago. It is Kindness Month. It is the kindness campaign. Maybe there's something you can do. Some sort of way of encouraging them. Here's a thing you might be able to do, and this is a big one. Maybe you need to forgive them. Maybe you need to forgive them. Maybe in order to show honor, you need to forgive them. And that's probably more to free you than free them. Maybe that would free you from the need to please them. People, like I said, the command that God is giving us does not include affections or feelings, but it is a command nonetheless. When we choose to honor our parents, whether young or old, or whether they're around or not, you are choosing the relationship. You're choosing what is right for the relationship, which means we have to sacrifice for the relationship. And some of you, maturity-wise, you know your parents could never do that. They will never be at a place to do that. And so I want to encourage you that you're growing and learning, that you can find a place to do that, that you can find the opportunity to honor them. You don't even have to necessarily tell them that you're trying to honor them. Maybe it's just a change in your own heart, your own view of your parents. And for those children that you guys who are living at home, where it says that you are to obey your parents, you are to do this because that makes a healthier relationship with your mom and dad. That builds a good relationship with your parents. And those of us that are already mums and dads, we honor our parents because that is what is right for the relationship. People, I believe as we grow in this command, I believe it opens the door for an opportunity for renewal. Renewal in your heart, renewal in your life. You cannot make your parents do anything. Some of us have tried long parts of our life trying to change those people, and you can't. But your heart can be renewed. Your life can be changed. Your view of them can be altered. We believe in a God that makes things new. And we do these things so that we can grow to be healthier and to be better. And that opens the door for things to go well with all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know as we bring up family and parents and relationships and siblings, Lord God, I know for some of us this is just a very large weight. In our heart, there is often that instant rejection of, I'm not doing that. And Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would soften the hearts of those people, that they would be able to forgive their parents. That doesn't mean they don't keep the boundaries up. That doesn't mean they don't keep a divide. But that in our hearts we begin to forgive them. That we would be able to find some renewal in our own heart and our own life. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help these people find a practical way to honor their mother and father. An appropriate way to honor their mother and father. You have given us a commandment that we take all the way back to the Old Testament. In the Ten Commandments, where we are called to honor our mothers and fathers. And so not a new idea, not a new concept in Scripture, but one that's constantly being repeated throughout all of Scripture. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would give us the strength to do that. That you'd give us maybe the words to say, the things to do, the actions to take. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for bringing us here. Lord, I pray for our children. Lord, we're surrounded by wonderful children in our church and community. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help them grow and mature themselves. I pray that you would help them to love and obey their parents. That they would learn to speak with their parents well. I pray as moms and dads that we would learn how to talk better with one another, to be a better example to our children of healthy dialogue, healthy conflict. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us to do these things. That it takes the power of your Holy Spirit to help us to honor our mothers and fathers. It takes the power of your Holy Spirit to help us to obey our parents. That it may go well for us. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for these things in your great name. Amen. I love you guys. Have a wonderful week. Valentine's Day Friday. We're just going to reiterate it again. Just so you don't forget, ladies. I mean, men. No, I'm just kidding.